guess you guys love Jesus more than candy tonight, eh? Oh, I don't know. Not really, I'm just teasing. You know, something that blessed me just today was having these two guys up here playing. For me, it's almost like sons playing. People that were in my youth group, people that I raised up. And if you know anything about any of them when they were young and where they are today and where they were then, God's done a work. And it just blesses me to see them doing what they're doing now, see them serving God. You know, Frankie went from playing an acoustic guitar to an electric guitar. Now it's whatever he wants to play, he can play. Logan's the same way, he can play anything. And they could be doing anything else tonight. But guess what they were doing? Serving God. Right? And it just blesses my soul. It's sons of the house. And that's what we need to be doing as a church, is raising up sons and daughters of the house. Because we don't want to hire someone from the outside. We don't want a hireling coming in here. Because when tough times come, guess where the hirelings go? They're the first ones to leave. But sons of the house will stay. And they'll stay with us through good times and bad. And, man, that's an awesome thing that Victory Life does, raising up sons and daughters of the house. Y'all guys ready? I'm going to do something a little different tonight than I normally do. I'm going to teach a little different than I normally do. And I want to talk about what's in a name. What's in a name? You know, in our culture today, we name our kids names, and a lot of times we don't give a lot of thought to what they mean. You know, well, let's name him Bob. Well, let's name him Tim, or, you know, whatever. Name her Sarah and this and that. We just name them names because they sound cool and whatever. I know some people that, you know, they name their baby. I say, why'd you name your baby that? I don't know, it's a cool name. It just sounded cool. Well, what does it mean? Well, I never thought about that. Yeah? And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just their culture. But, you know, back in the day, they didn't just name people names. Right? They had meaning. And when they would name someone, they would give them a name that, you know, it wasn't just Bob. You know, and even like the Indians, you know, it was, you know, the one who kills the biggest deer or whatever. Right? They kind of had a meaning to the name. You know? So what's in a name? And maybe, do you know what your name means? Have you ever looked at it? Maybe something to look at. What does your name mean? When me and Angela, my wife, when we first started dating and it got to the point where, you know, it was serious, and we're like, you know, I think we're going to get married and we're going to do this thing, right? One of the things we started to do was we started praying for our kids. We didn't even know our kids, right? But we felt impressed to pray for our kids, and we wanted a boy first and a girl second, so we started praying for our son, and we named him before we even knew him. And I have little notebooks, prayer notebooks, that are from years ago that have Timothy Seth Bishop written in that book. And we didn't just name him Timothy Seth to name him Timothy Seth. We did name him Timothy to honor my uncle who passed away. But we also named him Timothy Seth because of what it means. Not just to honor my uncle, even though that's really cool, but we liked what it meant. Timothy Seth together means one who honors God and is anointed. Wow. Now that's what I want him to live up to. Now, my daughter, we were going to name her, what are we going to name her? We're going to name her Grace, I think. And it didn't work out because my brother used the name Grace for his daughter. So I was like, man. But you know what? Charis means grace. So I thought, we'll name her Charis. And we named her Anna, which is was my grandma's name, which is kind of cool. But if you look at what it means, there's actually two meanings. One of them, Anna can mean beautiful, and it's beautiful grace. Anna can also mean grace. So it's kind of how you look at it, because grace, grace. I may need a double portion of grace to raise this girl. I'll tell you what, because she can be a mess, right? But beautiful grace. And you know, we did that on purpose, and I don't see a lot of people doing that today, and that's not, you know, knocking them or saying they're doing something wrong, but we just felt like what we're going to name them, man, they need to live up to that. Just listen to this quote. This is a quote from a man named Chris Valentin. Chris Valentin is the associate pastor at Bethel Church. He said, "Sticks and stones are breaking our bones, and names are stealing our futures." Woo! Names are stealing our futures. See, names can be good, names can be bad. Some names that you're called are not just names that, you know, that you're named. Some of them are labels. Some of them are names that people call you, they declare over you. And listen to this. Did you know that you will become what you think the most important person in your life thinks about you? Now think about this. You will become what you think the most important person thinks about you. Who's the most important person in your life? Think about it. Right? Selah, yeah. You know, a lot of people, it might be a dad that never loved them the way they wanted him to. But they've made that person the most important person in their life because they desire above anything else that that person would love them and affirm them. And the negative things that that person would say over them, that's what they became, because they made that person the most important person in their life because I want them to love me. You think about it, a child wants a dad to love them. And as, you know, awesome as the love of a father can be to a child, the most important in their life was misplaced. I mean, it could be anybody. It could be a friend. It could be, you know, a relative, a family member, a mom. It could be anybody. And if we're not careful, that most important person in our life may speak things over us that are not true about us. And we'll live up to that. And see, the deal is, God should be the most important person in our life, not a person. We should be looking to see what our Heavenly Father's saying over us, and not so much as what people are saying over us, even though people can say good things over us. But sometimes people will say good things over you in the name of, I'm just trying to be kind and nice, and they're really hurtful things. Like, for instance, say someone is not very smart, but they're good with their hands. And somebody says, oh, you're a dummy. And then somebody comes in and says, no, man, he's good with his hands. He's good with his hands. Okay. We say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, what if that person goes to school and does horrible in school because he's good with his hands? And he excels at things like shop and things, but he doesn't know how to read. What if he excels at things that he's good at with his hands, but he's believed what that person said about him, even though it might be true and might be a good thing, but they believed a lie that they can't do school, that they're not smart, and they miss doing things that they very well could do because they believed a lie, right? We have to be careful what we speak over people. We have to be careful what we say, even in the name of, oh, I'm doing this person a favor, I'm helping this person, I'm defending this person. True, but you've just affirmed that that person's dumb. And you said, well, you need to go another route. We got to be careful what we're speaking over people. We got to be careful what we're saying and how we're labeling people. Are we limiting them by their names. You know, what you focus on will determine your reality. A lot of times what people speaking over us, we are focused on that. We're so focused on it that it determines our reality. We believe it. And someone comes in and says, hey man, you're not so good at that. You don't do so well. Maybe you should try something different. And they start focusing on what they said. Guess what? It becomes the reality that that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I've had a lot of negative things spoke over me, you know? It just happens. If you knew where I came from, you'd say, well, I know why. If you knew where I used to be, you'd say, yeah, I know why. To get up in front of people and speak, oh my gosh. Right? I was the class clown. I was the nut. I was the one going crazy. I was the one that wanted you to laugh at me, not really listen to me, to what I really had to say. And if I'm not careful, I'll focus on who I'm not, and that'll become my reality. See, bad names can hold a person in bondage. Bad names can hold a person in bondage. God's people in Egypt, they were slaves. And it's really interesting if you watch what they did. They were slaves, but listen, a slave didn't deliver them. Have you ever thought about that? Moses was raised in the king's house. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. Why? Because of the way they taught him to think. Slaves don't deliver slaves. Slaves are in bondage. Slaves have no freedom. They don't think free. So what did God do? He separated Moses. Even the name Moses means to draw out. I mean, he was there to draw out God's people. Now look what happened. Moses came in thinking different and delivered the people, but the people never got on board with him. They never did. He went through the desert, and they whined and complained and they bellyached and they moaned. Right? Why? Because they were slaves. They didn't know what to do with freedom. You know what God did? He put them back under slavery. He gave them the law. The law put them in slavery. You say, what do you mean? The law made them not sin. They were so used to it, their mindset was so used to it, God says, wait a minute. I have to put them back under bondage and slavery to protect them, to keep them safe, so that I can free them with my son, but I got to get him here. See, they couldn't get over what they were called. They couldn't get over what they were named, because they thought slave. They thought bondage. And when freedom was there, they couldn't handle it. And God says, hey, I want you to be free. Walk in grace. I'll provide for you. Couldn't do it. And God says, okay, I'll tell you what. You want to be slaves? I'll put you back under bondage. And he put them back under bondage until Jesus came. Think about it. Names can bind us. Good names can release power so that you can reach your God-given destiny. Good names can release the power of God so that you can reach your God-given destiny. See, grace as well as disgrace is released by name calling. You can depart grace to someone by the name you call them. Yeah. Or you can disgrace them. You can tear them down. See, if you believe a lie as if it is true, it'll affect you as if it is true. There's this story I heard a long time ago. They had this office building. They were doing an office, and it was kind of like, I don't know if y'all have ever heard about the way Google has done their offices, and they were some of the first ones to, you know, loosen up a little bit, and let's wear jeans instead of ties, and just kind of loosen things up. And this office was kind of that way. And they had a lot of fun in the office. And on certain days, they would just have fun. They'd have like Nerf wars and stuff for like 30 minutes on break time, you know, just to have fun time. Well, one day they decided, this is what we're going to do. We're going to play a trick on our friend. We're going to push him in the broom closet, and we're going to lock it and not let him out. So they like trick him. They shove him in there, and then they're like, dude, you're locked in, and we ain't ever going to let you out. That guy stayed in there all day long. And finally, he crawled out through a ceiling tile and escaped. And they were like, dude, what have you been doing? And he's like, man, you guys are punks. Y'all locked me in the closet. You guys are a bunch of sorry, you know, this, and this. And they said, we didn't even lock it. And he's like, man, I didn't even try the handle. I didn't even try. But you know what? He believed a lie. And it affected him as if it was true all day long. And a lot of us have believed lies that have been said about us, and it's affecting us as if it is true. And we walk around defeated. We walk around with the, I can't do this and I can't do that. Because we believe lies about us. We believe the names that people have spoke over us. And it's not true. A lot of things aren't true. And it's, you're kept in bondage by nothing. By nothing. Just the way you think. What names do you declare over yourself? What do you call yourself? Think about it when you make a mistake. God, I'm so stupid. Yeah? Oh, I could never do that. You're limiting yourself by what you call yourself. We do it to ourselves. Look at this. Your destiny is directly tied to your name. Your name reveals your destiny. Names are prophetic declarations. They are prophetic declarations. Let's look at a few things. Abram means exalted father. Changes his name, what? To Abraham, father of many nations. Right? There it is, Genesis 17:5. Changed his name. Listen, he didn't step into anything that he was called to until God changed his name. And says, hey, you're the father of many nations. Hey, guess what? Let's start calling you that. Let's start declaring that over you. Right? There's a point in the Bible even where God and Abram even kind of had a little discussion here. He says, hey man, you've promised me a son, and if I die, he's like, who am I going to leave my stuff to? My servant? He's kind of chiding God a little bit. He's like, hey God. And then God reminded him, have I not promised you? Have I not called you Abraham, father of many nations? His wife is the same way. Changed her name to Mother of Nations. I mean, obviously, she's married to Abraham. She's got to be the Mother of Nations, correct? Changed her name. Changed her destiny. Let's look at Jacob. And Jacob's an interesting character. His name means supplanter. It also could be translated as liar, trickster, deceiver. Man, I don't like that name very much. I mean, I know a lot of people are named Jacob, and I know we name people Jacob, but have you ever thought about what it means? I'm like, whoa. Do you know the name Caleb means dog? I love the name Caleb. I'm like, man, Caleb, it means dog in Hebrew. Well, you get to studying it out. It has to do with dogs are loyal and some things like that, but I don't know. Just think about it. If you're named Caleb, I'm not downing you because it means something different in a different language. Right? Look it up in the Greek or something. But check this out. This guy's name supplanter, this liar, this trickster. And listen, he lives his life, and guess what he does? He lies. He deceives. That's what he does. He lives up to his name. He wants to go get married, and guess what? He gets tricked. Oh, he's the deceiver, but guess what? He ain't the only one that can do it. Right? Oh, yeah, we forgot to tell you, Jacob. Well, you got to marry the oldest one first. Surprise. I mean, you wake up in the morning, honeymoon was great, and you're like, "Who? Wait, who's this? I had a little bit too much wine to drink because you didn't look like that last night." Right? Oh, yeah. Tricked you. Another 7 years, yeah. And he's like, okay, I know you're mad. Here, you can have Rachel, but you can work for me another 7 years. We'll let you have her on credit. Right? Work it off. He gets tricked. And there's a lot of things that go in with Jacob. Jacob ends up coming back and tricking his father-in-law. Ends up basically taking on a sheep. He does a deal where Jacob becomes wealthy and his father-in-law is kind of ruined. But that's a whole nother story. But he gets to this place, guys, where he's just not real happy with himself. And he goes to a place that is named, and I'm not 100% sure how to say this, but it's like Jabbok, maybe? It's J-A-B-B-O-K. Jabbok. And this is what it means, empty and alone. He's at this place in his life where he's deceived, he's tricked, he's done all these horrible things, and he finds himself empty and alone. Right? He ends up getting to the place where he's sleeping and some things happen and an angel comes. Y'all know the story. He starts wrestling this angel. You know, it's like WWF or whatever. WWE. I don't even know what it is now. I don't even watch that anymore. I used to watch it when I was a kid when Hulk Hogan and some of those, but, you know, Andre the Giant. So they're wrestling, right? And he won't let this angel go. He won't let him go. He says, "You are going to bless me because I'm empty and alone and I don't like it. You're going to bless me. I'm not letting you go." Right? Wrestle all night. Finally, the angel, he touches his hip, does whatever, disjoints it, I don't know, does something to it, jacks it up, where he limps. Right? The rest of his life, he's limping. And the angel says, "You know what? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to change your name. I'm going to call you Israel." Wow. Israel. I looked up that name. It can mean a lot of different things, but one of the cool things that it does mean and can mean is Prince of God. One who has prevailed with God. He went from empty and alone. He went from deceiver. He went from all this stuff that was negative. In an instant, his destiny was changed. Prince of God. And it's kind of funny. He goes, "So, angel, what's your name?" He says, "None of your business." I thought that was kind of funny. I don't know why he didn't tell him his name. I think probably because if you know someone's name, you got power over them. Yeah. I don't know. He may have been afraid that in heaven, Jacob come looking for him one day. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Right? But he changed his destiny in an instant. His new name released him into his prophetic destiny. Israel. Wow. We see others, Simon into Peter. You know, it means stone, rock. We already looked at Moses. Let's look at Gideon. Let's look at Gideon. Judges chapter 6, verse 12. I don't know if we can throw that up there or not. There it is. Check this out. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" That ain't what he thought about himself. He was hiding. He said, "I'm the weakest of my tribe. I'm a weakling. He was speaking names over him. But listen, God saw who he was for real. God saw his ending at his beginning. God saw who he was destined to be not who he was at that time. And you know what? God is speaking things over you sometimes. I think he's speaking over it all the time. He's calling you things like that, mighty man of valor. And you're like, who, me? Yeah, you. He's calling you to do things that you're in and of yourself. And sometimes the negative names and the things that have been spoke over you, they're keeping you from reaching that because you've believed the lie. And you've received from someone other than him. See, I believe there's two ways that God gives us names. One way, he names us things that are names that I would say that are general names. Who we are as people of Christ. But he also gives you names that are intimate names. Names when you're spending time with him that he speaks over you that you might not even want to speak to someone else. You know? What does he speak to you in the secret place? You say, well, I don't know. I don't go to the secret place. Well, step number one, find a secret place. Find that place where you and God can meet together, where he can declare things over you, when he can speak to you like a loving father and call you those names. It may be what it was up there a while ago. Mighty warrior of God. It may be that. It may be courageous mother. Yeah? It may be someone, a man that's never had any children. And God say, you're going to be a father of many. You say, what do you mean, God? And he says, I want you to father those who don't have fathers. Could be something like that. Something that you've never thought of. And see, God calls us some awesome things already. He calls us saint. A lot of us speak over ourselves, I'm just an old sinner. No, you're not. You're a saint. A lot of us, we believe more in the power of our ability to sin than his ability to make us right. Right? Even though you have the ability to sin, you're not a sinner. You're a saint. And God calls you that. He's named you that. What name are you receiving? He calls us his children. Over and over again through Scripture, you can look at them. Galatians, John, other ones. He calls us his children. He calls us his friend. That's pretty crazy there. And if you really study that out, it's a little bit complex. But you're a friend of God. And he says, hey, because you're my friend, he goes, my father's going to share things with you that he wouldn't share with just a slave or a servant. He's going to share it all with you. Hey, I'm a friend. You're beloved. You're beloved. One of the things that blessed me so much when Jacob gave his testimony about his little boy was he said the thing that we did not compromise, we didn't even go there, was that God doesn't love us because of this. I'm telling you, to know that you are called loved and not just loved, you are the beloved. You're the beloved child. I mean, you receive that name over you. You establish that in your heart. That you know that you know. There's freedom in that. And we're blessed. We are so blessed. So blessed. So kind of what I wanted to do tonight is I want to ask you some questions. What names have you been believing about you? Maybe somebody called you a name in your life. Maybe it was, you know, just you're a loser. Maybe you're, you know, you had an abusive parent or something that spoke bad things over you. Maybe you had friends that were merciless and that called you horrible names and you'll never amount to this, and you'll never do. Maybe you've had names over you, and you're still living under that. And you're a Christian and everything. You're like, yeah, God is good, but you're still just kind of going into this defeatism because this name is like hanging over you. And every time you try to serve him or do something for him, you always say, yeah, but I can't because. And you know what? We need to break that tonight. Maybe you've never, ever considered and thought about what God calls you. You know, and you have this burning desire in your heart to serve Him, but you always like you run against the wall. And if you really examine what that wall is how you see yourself and what you truly think about yourself. And it's negative. It's not good. You see, God doesn't see us negative. He doesn't see us as losers. He doesn't see us as people that can't do what He's called us to do. He doesn't see you as stupid. He doesn't. And He has a name for you. And I really feel like some of you guys need to know what that name is. You need to know what it is. And tonight, before we do communion, I want to have a time of prayer. And if you're on the ministry team, I'm going to ask you to come up here in a minute. And we're just going to give a few minutes. And listen, if you want someone to pray over you about this very issue, maybe it's to pray over you that the things that were spoken over you would be canceled out. Because you know, the word is a seed. And you can have good seeds and bad seeds. And a negative word spoken over you is a negative seed. And that negative seed needs to have crop failure. It needs to die. It needs to be pulled out of the ground. And you need to have a new seed put in. And it may simply be that you're beloved. Maybe that. It may be that simple. Some of it may even be deeper than that. You may need to hear something that reveals your destiny. When I was 18 years old and the Lord said, "Oh, you're going to be a preacher. You're going to minister to people." I said, "You're talking to the wrong person." But see, he didn't see me where I was at. He saw me where I was going. He saw me down the road. He saw me what I was going to become. And some of you guys need to hear some things that he's, because God sees you down here, not where you're at. And some of you may need to hear that tonight. Some of you have believed too long a lie from a person. You've made a person the most important thing in your life. You're more concerned about what your wife says than what God says. You're more concerned about what even your kids say about you than what God says about you. Kids can be brutal, by the way. If we're not careful, we'll let our kids define us. We're best friend. And you may need to have a shift tonight to say, "Lord, I repent that I've been looking to this person and that person to affirm me and to tell me who I am. And I've never went to you and said, 'Who do you say that I am?'" Right? So if everybody would, please stand. If we got our ministry team, come forward. And Angela, you want to come down? I want to give you a few minutes. Before we do communion, and somebody just simply wants to be prayed over. And just help you work through a little bit with some of the names that have been put on you, some of the things you believe, and help you take a step in the other direction. Help you to start taking those labels off of you, those names off you, and you to start receiving the names that God calls you. Been to walk in that truth. If that's you tonight, we want to pray over you. So I'm just going to give you a few minutes. And I know there's some of you guys that you know what God calls you, and you're walking in that, and that's awesome. But let's help those that may not quite be sure yet. Let's help them hear those names of God and be encouraged to reach their destiny in God. So I'm going to give you a few minutes. And then we're going to do communion.
Eve. some of you that you know what God has spoken over you, and you're going to have to watch your mouth and what you let come out of your mouth. And there's things that God has spoken over you, but you don't believe them yet. And so you're going to have to, by faith, speak that over yourself. And you know, I think we don't realize how often we speak things over ourselves. Oh, I'm just not lucky. I don't ever win anything. We say things like that when things don't go our way. I don't ever win contests. I don't ever do this. And so you're going to have to start speaking. And as you start speaking what you know God has told you, and you start speaking it over yourself over and over and over again, you're going to start seeing it. You're going to start seeing what God sees. When you start seeing what God sees, then you're not going to have to speak it over yourself anymore, because you're going to know it. And you're going to believe it. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to come to the table tonight. And as always, we don't take this opportunity for granted. We recognize what Jesus has done for us with his body and by his blood. And so we're going to give you an opportunity. You're welcome to join tonight as we partake, as we remember what Jesus has done for us. And so if you're a guest here tonight, we welcome you to be a part of that, but don't feel obligated. But you are welcome to if you so desire. So if our communion team would come down, and we'll begin to receive the elements. And so what you're going to do, you're going to exit out your right side, come and get the elements, and exit back in your row on the left side. And so if you can go ahead and start coming down. You know, Jesus said to do this in remembrance of me. And we don't want to ever forget what Jesus did for us. And how his body was beaten and his body was bruised. And so anytime you think that the sickness you have in your body is just something you have to deal with, or is just your cross to bear, or your thorn in your side, don't forget that Jesus paid a cost that was a great cost, so that you didn't have to live with that. So that you could be healed, you could be made whole, whether it's your physical body, whether it's your mind, whatever it is. Do this in remembrance of Jesus and what he did for you. So let's take of the bread together. I was reading this morning about the cup, where Jesus is in the garden and he's saying, God, if possible, let this cup pass from me. He was talking about the cup of suffering that he knew he was going to drink. And as we partake of the cup tonight, remember that he drank the cup of suffering so that we could drink the cup of deliverance. And so tonight, we remember Jesus' blood that was shed for us. His blood that covers every sin, everything we could ever do wrong. It's already been forgiven. So when you repent, you're saying, I'm going to turn from this and go a different way because I'm already forgiven. And so let's drink together as we remember the blood of Jesus shed for us. God, we thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to die for us. And he didn't just die, but he went to the cross and he bore our pain, our sickness, and our suffering for us. It was a great cost, but one that was worth it. And so we thank you, Jesus, and we do this in remembrance of you. And may we never forget what Jesus has done for us. That we will remember it often, every day, that we can live in freedom. And so we just honor you and thank you, Father God. Thank you for this family as we come together and remember together our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. If you guys need any more prayer, anything additional, our prayer team will be down here. Other than that, love you, and we'll see you Sunday.